Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to those on the webcast that we may have today. Don't forget, after the sermon today, we also have Bible study, probably 5 or 10 minutes after church concludes, so I look forward to that as well. You know, many of us here today have done something in our lives or said something in our lives that we've regretted later on. You know, there may have been times where you regretted not taking some sort of opportunity that you had in your life as well. It's interesting, as we grow older, we think about more regrets that we may have. Those who are younger among us may tend to not have as many regrets as those who are a little bit older. Start thinking about life, wishing that we'd maybe spent more time with our family or with our friends. You know, oftentimes parents regret not spending more time with their children while they were growing up. As grown-up children, we sometimes wish that we spent more time with our father and our mother, that we got too busy with our lives. You know, as others may regret not taking the time to take more vacations or trips with their family, not taking more time to do things that were enjoyable or make their lives a little bit happier. You don't need to turn there, but in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus Christ told us this: I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Does an abundant life mean a life without regrets? Does an abundant life include a life with regrets? Is it possible in this physical life to have a life without regrets? Well, today I want to examine the topic of regret and how we can leave regret behind. We'll examine this topic today. You know, regret can be a positive or a negative impact on us, both physically and spiritually, in our lives. You know, dealing with regrets negatively can ultimately hold us back from becoming what God wants us to become. So the title for today's message is Leaving Regret Behind. Leaving Regret Behind. To start off with, we'll look at the definition for regret, and this is from dictionary.com and from Webster's 1828 dictionary. Regret can be a noun or a verb. As a noun, regret can mean a feeling of sorrow or remorse for a fault, an act, or loss or disappointment. As a verb, it can mean to grieve or lament, to be sorry for, even to repent. Today, as we examine regret, I want to share some information that I found from an article that I think can be helpful as we look at regret. It's from an online publication, Lifestyles After 50. It was dated March of this year, March 21st of 2020. The title of this article was Regrets I've Had a Few by Kathy A. McGeary. And I'll summarize and quote some from this article. Much of this article was a book review on a book entitled The Power of Regret, How Looking Back Moves Us Forward by Daniel H. Pink. In this book, Daniel Pink states that rather than lamenting our regrets or forgetting or trying to forget our regrets, that we should embrace them. In other words, regrets can help us to become a better person. I have a quote from his book, or from this article. Says Americans are such an upbeat people and so focused on positive emotions that they think a good life should be without pain and discomfort. But they're wrong. Everyone has regrets as part of being a human. He had conducted for this book a world regret survey in July of 2020. And after examining the survey, doing research in biology and psychology as well, he came up with four core regrets that I want to share with you. The first regret is foundational regret. If I'd only done the work, if I'd only studied harder in school, if I'd applied myself more in my job. Another foundational regret: I wish I had taken better care of my health, or I wish I had saved more money throughout my life. These small decisions early on in our life can sometimes have huge consequences in our lives. They accumulate over time. Foundational regret, Daniel Pink said, comprise the stability of our lives, the stability of our lives. The second core regret was boldness regret. That encompasses the what if question. Why didn't I take the trip to wherever you'd want to go when I had the opportunity? Why didn't I apply for the job or the promotion when I had the opportunity? Why didn't I take the opportunity to start a business that I always wanted to do? Boldness regrets are the missed opportunity that we didn't take because we didn't want to take the chance that it might not work out. We didn't want to take the chance that things might not work out like we wanted them to. The third regret is moral regret. Moral regret. Moral regret is bad decisions. Why did I say something that was so hurtful and uncaring? Why didn't I help someone when I saw the need? Why did I lie about that? Or why did I cheat someone or cheat on someone in a relationship? I knew better, but I didn't do better. What was I thinking? Why didn't I do the right thing? All those are moral regrets. And the fourth and final core regret is the connection regret. I should have kept in touch with my family and my friends. I should have reached out when someone was sick. I wish I had connected with someone before it was too late. I should have told my family I loved them more. I got too busy and distracted for important relationships in my life. All those are connection regrets. Daniel Pink broke down the cause of regrets into two categories, actions and inactions. Actions where we fall short, or inactions when we didn't do something. He concluded that most everyone who's ever lived has had regrets. And the regrets that we have are often the things that we value in our lives. Stating that regrets are a single to us in our lives, and it's up to each of us of what we're going to do with them. I thought these four core regrets fit in nicely with the 4 points that I have to share with you today. The 4 points that I believe can help us to leave regret behind in our lives. If you want to leave regret behind in your life, you have to set and follow the right priorities. You have to set and follow the right priorities. You know, if there's anyone in the world who should have the right priorities, it should be those of us that come to God's church. We have the opportunity to understand the Bible. We have the opportunity to read the Bible, and we have the inspired Word of God. If you turn over to 1 John, we'll read in chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. John reminds us of something that's very important when it comes to setting and following the right priorities in our lives. It's something that I believe all of us at times struggle with. In John, 1 John chapter 2, and starting in verse 15, and I'll read this from the New English Translation. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in this world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the arrogance produced by material possessions, is not from the Father, but from the world." In verse 17, it tells us, "And this world is passing away with all its desires, but the person who does the will of God remains forever." As I said earlier, it's sometimes easy to get caught up in the physical things of this life. Get caught up in the physical things of this world. All of us need to have food. We all need shelter. We all need clothing. There's other things that we need to live, but when those things become the priority in our lives and supplant the things of God, we don't have the right priority. We don't have the right priority. You know, John tells us in verse 15 that we need to love God the Father more than the physical things of this world. The things of this world are passing away. they're passing away. They won't remain forever. But verse 17 talks about whoever does the will of God remains and will live forever. And the question that we all need to ask ourselves, or I want to ask today, is are we willing to put in the work that it takes to be a disciple of Christ? You know, the first of the four core regrets was the foundational regret. If only I had done the work. If only I had put in the work. You know, it takes having the right priorities to become, and the discipline to become a disciple of Christ. You know, we often hear when you hear the word regret, we also, it's accompanied with these words, would have, should have, could have. We wish we'd have done something. We could have done something, but we didn't take the time to do it. You know, I should have taken the time and made the effort to seek God and His righteousness. You know, foundational regrets reduce the stability in our lives, and that's by not having the right priority in our lives and the willingness to follow them, the willingness to make the effort to do them. You know, it's important to have a relationship with God, and we can do that through our prayers and our Bible study. It allows God to speak to us through His Bible, an opportunity for us to speak to God. We have the opportunity to come to church as well to learn more of His truth, how to grow in godly character, to fellowship with those that come to church, those that God's working with, to encourage and be encouraged. It's a time to grow in love for one another. But all these things take effort on our part to be here. It takes effort to come to church, to not let the cares of this world be put ahead of the things that are spiritual in our lives. As I often say, what's important in our lives are usually what gets done. If it's important to us, it will get done. If we see ourselves drifting spiritually in our lives, we should check our priorities. Do we need to make changes to our priorities? And as I said, it takes effort to overcome this life, this physical life, and overcome this world. It'll take effort to grow in God's truth, and to reflect His commandments in how we live. If you turn to Matthew chapter 7, read verses 13 and 14. You know, Matthew 7 is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's instructions for those who want to be Jesus Christ's disciples in His life. Matthew chapter 7, and starting verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. You know, the gate to discipleship is narrow and it's sometimes difficult, but God will give us the help that we need. But we must be willing to have the right priority in our lives. And we must be willing to follow the will of God. It's a different path than most go in this world. Most of the world is not following God's way of life. But if we faithfully follow Jesus Christ's teaching, we'll find an abundant life. The abundant life in Greek means superior in quality or more excellent. You know, having abundant life doesn't mean living a life of leisure or luxury. You know, living an abundant life has meaning and purpose in it. And that's what Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in Him, can give us. You know, it takes a transformation process that God has called us to become more like Jesus Christ and God in how our minds think and in our hearts and our actions. Skipping down just to verse 24 and 27, staying in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who's built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and they did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. You know, our lives need to be built on the rock of God's commandments, God's teaching. Not just to hear them, not just to grow in knowledge, but to grow in how we apply them so we won't have regret. We won't have the regret of not taking the opportunity when we had that opportunity. You know, Jesus Christ is a cornerstone to our foundation. And that foundation will not be moved when difficult times happen in this physical life. I talked about earlier that foundational regrets keep us from having a life that's stable. If you want a stable life, we need to be following God's priorities in all that we do. To leave regret behind, we need to be following and setting the right priorities that God has laid out for each of us here today. The second point that I have today, we all have regrets. What are we going to do with them? We all have regrets. What are we going to do with them? You know, in this physical life, there will be regrets. There will be regrets, but they're an opportunity to learn. We can learn from the regrets that we have. Regrets can remind us to be more humble in our lives. As Proverbs 16:18 states, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We can learn to be more humble by our regrets. Regrets remind us that we can't change or live in the past. The Bible records those who had big mistakes in their lives, and we can learn from them. You know, King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband, who was very loyal to him, killed, but his sins did not define how David ended his life. And brethren, all of us here today are repentant sinners. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short in our lives, but all of us have the opportunity to learn from those sins. If you turn to Matthew chapter 26, we'll look at an example of Peter before he became an apostle. Matthew chapter 26, we'll read verses 73 and 75. You know, earlier in this chapter, in verse 35, Peter had said to Jesus Christ, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. And earlier, Peter had already denied Christ twice. In verse 73, a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way that you talk gives you away." And he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter regretted denying Jesus three times. Can you imagine denying Christ? I think all of us, maybe in our lives, have denied Christ in one way or the other. But what did Peter do? What did he do with that regret? Well, we know a few weeks later, he delivered a powerful sermon. If you'll turn to Acts, Acts chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. You know, a few weeks later, Peter delivered a powerful sermon on Pentecost. And Peter didn't let that define him. And in Acts 22, we'll look at Paul. Paul, who had been converted and returned to Jerusalem, and he was addressing the Jews at this time. And picking up the story in verse 19, after Paul had returned to Jerusalem, "So I said, 'Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed on you. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by, consenting to his death, guarding the clothes of those who were killing him.'" How much regret do you think Paul had for persecuting God's church? Much like Peter, he did not let that define how his life would end up or become. Turning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, you'll read verses 12 through 15. Paul reminds the Philippians of the importance of not looking backward, but looking forward. Not living in the past, but looking forward. That's the way Paul lived his life as well. Philippians chapter 3, and starting verse 12, it says, "Not that I have already attained or I am perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." You know, Paul states here that he hadn't been perfected or completed yet. He continued to strive to become more like Jesus Christ. Brethren, we can learn from the past, but we can't be stuck in the past. We cannot be stuck and dwell on the past. We can use those for a learning experience like these men did. You know, an analogy would be like driving our cars. How far could we drive our cars if we only looked in a rearview mirror? Do you believe that you could arrive at your destination by spending most of the time looking in the rearview mirror? No, we have to focus out the windshield. We have to see where we're going. We have to be aware of what's behind us. But we don't drive our cars by only looking in the rearview mirror. We can't live our lives by being defined of what's happened before. We can only change what's happening today and in the future. You know, while Paul had zealously persecuted the church, after he was converted, he had just as much or more zeal in serving the churches in Antioch, in Greece, and throughout Asia Minor. You know, Paul did not forget that he'd persecuted the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 9, I'll read this. You don't need to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 9, it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." He didn't forget the past, but he didn't live in the past. And in the end, Paul's past life did not define what he became. Our regrets should not define us either. You know, not every regret that we have in our life is a sin. Sometimes things don't work out as we plan. Maybe something that we did not foresee happening. Maybe it's something that was out of our control that we regret. But it's up to us to make better decisions as we go forward if we're going to learn from regrets. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans chapter 8, 28, it tells us, "And I know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are calling according to his purpose." I think most of us are familiar with this. For this message today, I want you to think of this verse this way. God can help us our regrets or failures work for good according to his purpose. And that brings me to my third point. Regrets remind us to change. Point number three is regrets remind us to change. You know, earlier I mentioned that regrets can be a signal for us, a signal that we need to do something. While we can learn from that regret, David, Peter, Paul learned and made changes in their lives. If you turn to 2 Corinthians will read chapter 7 and verse 8 and 10. As we look at this third point, that regrets remind us to change. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul had strongly rebuked the Corinthian church because they had many different problems. They lacked love for one another. They had many divisions, sexual immorality, just to name a few. But here in 2 Corinthians, he's addressing what he had written them earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 8. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. You know, Paul did not enjoy having to write the letter of 1 Corinthians rebuking them. And continuing on in verse 9, it says, "Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of this world produces death." Brethren, regret can lead us to sorrow, but it also should lead us to repent if that's what we need to do. To repent, to change our lives. If you turn back to Acts chapter 2, or verses 37 and 38, looking at the sermon that Peter gave on the Feast of Pentecost. It was a powerful sermon. Picking up with the story in chapter 2 of Acts, starting in verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what should we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Peter's telling them to repent and change. Regrets can help prompt us to make needed changes in our lives as well. Instead of looking at the negative of regret, it's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to change, to make the change become more like God our Father, and to follow Jesus Christ's example in our thoughts and our actions. You know, oftentimes, moral regrets are sins that we have. Sins that we sometimes have trouble forgiving ourselves. Sometimes we beat ourselves up about it. If you turn to Psalms chapter 103. This is a psalm written by David, who, as we know, became a man after God's own heart. David reminds us how much God loves us and is willing to forgive us. Psalms chapter 103 and starting verse 8. And I'll read this from the New Living Translation. "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of heavens above the earth. He removes our sins as far as from the east is from the west." You know, David here describes some of the character of God. It should be an encouragement to all of us. Talks about being compassionate, being merciful, love that never fails, does not punish us as harshly as we deserve. And brethren, we know through Jesus Christ we can be redeemed of our sins. And when we repent of our sins, when we truly repent, that sin no longer affects our relationship with God. It talks about removing our sins from the east is from the west. Brethren, if God can forgive us, we need to be willing to forgive ourselves as well. To move forward, to continue to grow, we need to be able to forgive ourselves. You know, David and others throughout the Bible experienced physical and emotional penalty for their sins. They didn't let that sin and that regret linger. They knew they'd been forgiven by God, and they moved forward in their lives. It's important in how we deal with the regrets we have that we don't just stay in the past. While we may have a regret, we may wish that we could have changed what we did. The reality is we cannot change the things that have happened in the past. We can only change the future of our lives. It's important for each of us to realize and remember that God is in the salvage business. God is in the salvage business. He fixes the wrecks that we make of our lives. And he's able to do that when we look to him, when we repent of our sins. We become free from sin. We have the opportunity to start a new life. When we submit our lives to him, we have the opportunity to be a new man or a new woman. And one of the core regrets we looked at was the boldness regret. The boldest regret was a missed opportunity. We didn't take a chance because we were afraid it wouldn't work out. Brethren, we need to put our faith and trust in God. When we put our faith and trust in God, he's given us an opportunity and things will work out. Things will work out for the best. We must put our faith and trust in him. We must have the courage to do that. If you turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 1, read verses 6 through 8. You know, to live God's way of life, it takes courage. It takes commitment. And God gives us the help that we need. Here in 2 Timothy, Paul's encouraging Timothy with some instructions that he needed to remember that we do as well. In 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." Brethren, we can all think of regrets in our lives. You know, as I was working on this sermon, I was thinking about regretting my life. One of the regrets I have is worrying about what other people thought, worrying about those who I went to school with, in grade school and in high school, not wanting to share my religious beliefs or not wanting anyone to know that I kept the Sabbath day, worried about what they thought. They might think I was a religious nut. But, you know, worrying about what others think, there's an element of pride in there. What I've learned over the years, that I need to be more concerned about what God thinks. I think all of us learn that as well. We need to be concerned about what God thinks. We don't have to muster the courage or strength on our own. God's willing to work with us. But we have to have the courage. We have to have the discipline to put God first. To put God first in our lives. And no matter what happens in this physical life, God will be there to help us, to strengthen us, and to help us to overcome this world, as I said earlier, and to overcome whatever comes in this physical life. You know, with God's help, there's nothing that can stop us. All things are possible with God, as we talked about in a sermon about a month ago. And he can help us to grow in his godly character. Regrets remind us of our need to change. The fourth and final point I want to bring out today about regret is seize the moments from each day to show godly love. Seize the moments from each day to show godly love. I have a little story to read to you. You may have heard this before. It's "Whose Job Is It Anyway?" Whose job is it anyway? It's a little bit of a tongue twister, but I'll do the best that I can. This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to get done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Hopefully you kept up. The moral of that story is no one took the responsibility to accomplish what they saw that needed to be done. Getting back to the would have, should have, could have. You know, the last of the four regrets, the core regrets that we talked about, or I gave earlier, was the connection regret. Regretting that we didn't keep in touch with family or friends. I should have reached out to someone who was sick. I could have told my family and those that I love them more. You don't need to turn there, but in Psalms chapter 90, Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12 reminds us something that's very important. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, there's many things that we can enjoy in this physical life, but our days are numbered. And we need to take the opportunity to gain a heart of wisdom. Each day that we live should be valued, should value the opportunity that God's given us. And God is the one who can give us true wisdom. He is the one who can give us a heart of wisdom. You know, when we're younger, we think we have an endless supply of days. But the reality is that we don't. We don't know when our time will be over on this earth. As we get older, we're reminded that this physical life will end at some point in time. You don't need to turn there, but I just want to reiterate two great commandments that Jesus Christ gave us in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. And Jesus said to them, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You know, each day is made up of moments where we have decisions to make of what we're going to do with our time. We have the opportunity to put into practice these two commandments. To grow in love with our relationship with God our Father through prayer, through Bible study, so that we can become more like Him in how we live our lives. And the second thing that Jesus pointed out, we have the opportunity to show love to our neighbor. Not just our physical family, but those around us, those of our spiritual family as well. Are there times that we miss opportunities to support one another? I think there are. Are there times when we're too busy to see others that are in need? So I was working on this, I was thinking about the New Testament church, the apostles, John, Peter, the apostle Paul. Can you imagine if they were among us today? If they were among us today, we could tell them that we can meet every week on the Sabbath day. We're free to do so. No one's being thrown into prison. Most often we're not persecuted. We have the whole Bible. We have the whole Bible that we can carry around. For those that don't carry around a Bible, we have a small device that has a Bible on it that we can put in our pocket and our purse. We can watch sermons. We can read articles about how to live God's way of life. And on that same device that we carry around, we can talk to people. We can send messages as well. They would observe that we have a lot of free time because we have automobiles that we can drive distances quickly, that we can pick up food at a store, and we can prepare it to eat relatively easily. They would probably conclude that we must be really close to God. We must be really close to one another. But brethren, is that true? We all have the time to do that. But if we don't seize the moments of each day, we'll be missing out on those opportunities. We'll be missing out on the opportunity to grow closer to God, to show Him that we truly love God our Father by how we live, to show those in God's church and to show our families and show those around us that we have love for them as well by encouraging, taking the opportunity to help one another. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read verses 15 through 17. Ephesians is often referred to as one of Paul's prison epistles. It was a letter that he'd written while he's enduring imprisonment in Rome. Earlier And chapter 5 is discussing about coming out of the darkness of the world and walking in the light of God's way. In verse 15 of Ephesians 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know, walk here can mean our activities. Circumspectly is not a word that we often use today, but it can mean diligently or accurately. I believe we know that we shouldn't be the foolish, we should be the wise. You know, not living like those in the world who do not understand God's way of life. In verse 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming can mean rescuing from loss, recovering. It could also mean not wasting. Do we have an urgency with our time? Because, brethren, we can see that the days are evil. In verse 17, it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord is. We're warned again not to be unwise, to understand what God's will is. As I said earlier, the things that are important in our lives are the things that we usually get done. Is our relationship with God the Father important to us? Is our relationship with one another important? It was interesting, we all believe we live busy, chaotic lives, and we sometimes do. But, you know, if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, he had a very busy life as well. You know, Jesus' ministry, he was teaching God's truth. There were people who wanted to be healed. There were people challenging his authority. There were people who were plotting to kill him. You know, the Gospels record us that Jesus often got up early and prayed while it was dark. He oftentimes had to get away from the crowds to spend time in prayer. Jesus Christ did not waste the time that he was on this earth. He was on a mission to save all of mankind. And brethren, we can be thankful that he completed that mission. Jesus told us, those of his disciples in John 13:34, those that be his disciples in John 13:34, that they would love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Each day is made up of moments and opportunities when we can show love for others, when we can help those who may be struggling physically or spiritually, someone who may need encouragement. We can take the time to pray for others. If you're not taking the time to pray for others, you're probably not thinking about others. And you probably don't see the need to help, to encourage others as well. You know, Jesus Christ reminded us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. He says, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Talking about the end times. The New Living Translation says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. You know, we live in a world that you don't see a lot of love for one another. Brethren, it shouldn't be that way in God's church. We should have love for one another and be growing in that love and be careful that our love doesn't grow cold. You know, Jesus is giving us that warning in this last days. We need to make it a priority. Make it a priority to seize the moments of each day. You know, today we've looked at four core regrets that we can have in our lives. I'll recap them again if you're taking notes. Foundational regret, if only I'd done the work. Small decisions which seem to have no huge consequences, but over time they accumulate, have a cumulative effect. The boldness regret, the what-if question, the missed opportunity and not taking the chance because we thought it might not work out. The moral regret, bad decisions, often breaking God's commandments. Wishing that we'd done the right thing. The connection regret. Why didn't I take the opportunity to show someone love? Why did I get too distracted and busy to miss out on important relationships? I follow that by four points that can help us to avoid these regrets. That we have to set the right priorities. We have to set and follow the right priorities. Our priorities should align with God's commandments, submitting to his will as he leads us. We all have regrets. There are opportunities to learn. Regrets remind us of our need to change, to not live in the past, but to go forward, move forward, to change the future. And lastly, we looked at seizing the moments of each day to show godly love, to strengthen our relationship with God our Father, to show that we truly love Him by how we live our lives, and to strengthen our relationships with our physical and spiritual families, taking the opportunity to seize the moment each day. Now, during my introduction today, I read from John chapter 10:10, where Jesus Christ tells us, "I've come that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly." Brethren, we don't need to live a life of regret. We have the opportunity to have a life of hope and meaning through Jesus Christ. With God's help, humbly submitting our lives and serving Him, we can leave regret behind in our lives.